The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
For those who've been out of the scene for a while, a return to dating in your 30s is a brave new world, much of it online with the apps, the risk of ghosting, and where to have a tentative first meeting, dinner, a drink, a walk in the park, a coffee, who knows? And then, since you're a bit older, perhaps you already have, if you like, some baggage. You've got a child with someone else, you've got a mortgage, and other pressures that come with that kind of age. Well, my next guest is one such person, and not alone that, he lives a precarious working life because he's a comedian. Stephen Mullen, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, thanks for having me.
Now, you've been writing about your dating experiences, and it was a brave new world, something completely shocking to you.
It was at the time that I started back, yeah, and we had just kind of, my relationship with my co-parent had ended just at the end of lockdown. And at that stage, you know, it took a lot of building of confidence to go out there again. But it had been, I think it was like 8 years before since I had dated last, and a lot had changed since then.
Yeah. How did you find the new landscape? I mean, what did you expect, first of all?
I didn't expect anyone to look at me for a start. I had zero confidence. I think when you've come out of a relationship that didn't work out, your confidence wouldn't be the highest. But also with things like with having a kid, with being a bloke, the housing situation that we're in as well, it's not that quick to be able to go and find yourself somewhere to live and all that kind of stuff. I genuinely thought, who is going to want to go out with this? And a stand-up comedian.
and you were living with your co-parent, no longer together, sharing accommodation.
Yes, yeah. And, you know, after a while, it took a while to build up the confidence. But what I found is that you started to meet a lot of people that were in very similar situations.
But did you have to go online to do that?
All online, Pat.
All online.
All online, unfortunately. And
Now, often we hear women given out about the fella who says he's 6 foot, he's only 5 foot nine. that kind of, now you're 6'2", I'd say.
Yeah.
So that wasn't a problem for you.
No.
But I mean, did you find that on the other side of things, that the pictures you saw, the descriptions you saw did not marry with the facts?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, it happens on both sides. Yeah, sometimes you might meet somebody who you realise that picture was a bit old. It's a bit of the David Brent situation in The Office when he insists that someone has to have a copy of today's newspaper with their photo so that he knows what date it was actually taken. In general, not too much of that. I think that's called catfishing. I can't remember, like, if they don't look like their photo. But there's all sorts of, when you get to my, like, I'm going to be 40 later on this year. And you get to our age, we do have kids, or there's somebody who's looking to have kids, and I completely respect and understand that. So the pressure's on, you know.
The pressure's on. Now that seems to be on the agenda for many people, men and women.
Mm.
But for women, obviously, the biological clock, infertility, maybe the prospect of that rising with increasing age, less accelerated for men. And I mean, in case you wanted kids, there was reassurance available from at least one of your daters.
Yes, there was. It did start. It was quite early on in a date. Well, but this is a thing now. Again, it's just part of the culture that I'm shocked with. But I know that it's very common now. But like at the beginning of the date, I was just reassured at the start of the date that she said, "Just so you know, I've frozen my eggs," and I did find myself looking at the menu, going, "So is there something on the menu that I don't know about here?" And it's quite common. I went on a date with a girl actually in Brooklyn, and they're far more open and talking about that kind of stuff over there. And she works for a corporation where they actually pay for women of her age to have their eggs frozen and all that kind of stuff. So it's become part of dating culture now as well at my age.
Now, the old days, not that long ago, even, you know, when you last dated in your early 20s, you go to the pub, you go to a club, but mostly the pub, you'd catch someone's eye across a crowded room, you'd maneuver your way to talk to them, and the magic happened or didn't.
Yeah.
And often, you know, there'd be gangs of fellas and gangs of girls who'd all kind of mix up, and then there might be some pairing off or there might not be, but it was very kind of natural.
Yeah, it's very different. Back when I was a lot younger, there was kind of, you know, you had a few drinks, you might have had a kiss, you might have had a couple of kids and a mortgage, and then after that, you'd ask if this is official, are we going out? You know, there were different times. But now it's the online thing. I think part of this individualism culture that we have, or individualistic culture that we have, is like you order everything on your phone these days. You know, you book your meals, your gym sessions, and the person that you want to end up with.
It's your mate.
Yeah, your mate. And it becomes a bit like, you know, the people's profiles are like, you know, lists of demands. You know, he better be emotionally available and be able to make me laugh. It's like, pick one of them. Do you know what I mean? At all. But the profiles do start to read like that. You know, this is what I want. And
so a checklist,
and you lose out on the adventure of getting to know somebody. Surely that's part of the adventure, is getting to know someone.
Okay, so your checklist goes up, and you know, living with my ex partner, already a parent. Steady, reliable job, stand-up comedian. You know,
I mean,
you're thinking, how many boxes do you tick?
How many red flags do I put up? Is what I look like? Yeah, it's tricky, but I do want to say that part of the adventure of kind of going back out there in the dating world in the last few years has been that I've made some amazing friends and people that the dates haven't necessarily worked out with. That we still chat about dating, we still catch up with each other, we check in, we have coffees and all that. And a lot of the people that I would resonate with are single mothers, and they're kind of going through the same thing where they might be in a living situation where their partner or them, they can't move out. And so you do start to bond over the trauma, I suppose.
They've had some very interesting adventures where someone decided late at night that you were the one that should spend the night with her. What happened?
You regret writing things, don't you? We had just been texting. I'd never met this person. And it was a situation as well where it was a single mother, and the kids were away for a couple of nights, and it was her birthday. And I think she'd had a few drinks, and she said, listen, the house is free. I've chosen you. You're coming over. And I was doing a gig in Galway and was travelling late back that night, and it got to like 1 a.m. and the text had stopped. And my friend who was driving me was like, drop me off. And he's like, are you sure? I was like, listen, I'll get a taxi home if she doesn't answer, whatever. And sure enough, she didn't answer. And I'm walking around an estate at like 2 a.m. looking
dodgy.
She'd give
me the
address,
the
and all that,
whatever,
the air code, whatever. And
I mean, you are a bearded gent, you're 6'2". You're probably like,
dodgy.
You know, wearing dark clothing and so on.
Yeah. If the guards had seen
you're
me, like,
skulking around,
like
a
I'm scoping out a house to rob or something like that. I get a taxi home, and then the next morning I woke up to a stream of her messages. God bless her. Like, you know, she had been woken up by she had lit candles for my arrival, but she fell asleep. The candles had caught the curtains on fire, and she woke up to curtains on fire in the house. But she was disgusted that I wasn't going to go over that night. And I was like, I think I'm not in the mood, to be honest with you. But that's part of the fun of online dating, Pat.
Yeah, it's extraordinary. And then there was the girl who, you know, you seemed to like you a lot. You liked her. Mm. But when she found out you were just back in the dating scene.
Yeah, that seemed to be a big, that's, because I think we're in a world out there where there's so much choice going on, and people might be having multiple conversations with multiple different people. But I remember that girl that I just thought there was a good vibe. We had a good drink. It wasn't particularly long, and might see her again. And she was just like, "Yeah, her words were, I don't want to be your first one back." She's like, "You gotta
you're
get
out
of there."
Practice.
Yeah, you're out of practice. Yeah, basically, kind of a thing. So yeah, that can be a red flag apparently as well. Like, she doesn't want to be the first one back.
Mm. Now, when you tell people, as you would, even before you might learn their second name, what you do for a living, or maybe they've heard of you by reputation.
Mm-hmm.
They expect you to be a ball of laughs.
Sometimes I think.
Tell me a joke. Make me laugh.
Yeah, that's a big one. I mean, that happens in the messages straight away. I've often, like, now you can voice note on some of these apps as well. So I remember matching with somebody who there was no hello or nothing. I just got a voice note straight away going, now I can't be going on a date with you because I'm gas. And you'll be nicking my stuff and using it on stage. That was the first message I got.
I'm gas.
Are you? Yeah. Disconnect. But there can be, I think there, and also some people might see you on stage and they'll contact you after a show or whatever like that. And it's like comedians, it's a persona. We've created a thing on stage. I've created this funny guy on stage. Mm-hmm. And most of us are introverts, actually. And we like spending time alone and thinking.
You
and
know
stuff
that famous line, whichever comedian said it, when I said I wanted to be a stand-up comedian, everybody laughed. They're not laughing now.
Yeah, exactly. exactly. So, yeah, there can be they might think that I don't feel the pressure to be funny, but there might be expectation on their side. Or else they can get competitive. They want you to tell them that they're funny. And it's like, we can just be ourselves. It's all good.
So you describe the person you create on stage is a different person that you let out.
Yeah,
when it's
he's certainly
showtime,
yeah,
he gets out.
He's certainly a part of me. I mean, if I carried on in real life the way I am on stage, you know, that's no chance for me, you know. You'd be locked up, but it's certainly a part of me, and he comes from me, but it's a different person, yeah.
Well, now, today is a day when I'm sure there are many parents who are dreading that note from their child to say, well, I didn't do well, but I know what I want to do. I want to do stand-up.
Yeah, well, if you did very bad in your Leaving Cert, then you've passed the exam. You've done very well. Yeah, I didn't. I mean, all the best to everyone getting their results today, and I hope they're okay. But I never did a Leaving Cert. Yeah,
you never did it at all.
I didn't do it at all. No.
What happened?
I did a tough few years in my adolescence, and then it was just kind of decided mutually between myself. The school were really good with me, actually, and my parents at the time, that like I just went off and I worked instead. I was really good at sports, but academia wasn't working out for me, and I went and did a carpentry apprenticeship.
Okay,
but it never held me back. I did a carpentry apprenticeship, and then because of some of the things that I went through, I ended up working in a charity, helping long-term unemployed people for years, people with addiction issues, and helping them back into the workplace and into further education themselves. And then after that, through helping them, actually, I thought, like, what would I like to do? And I ended up in the arts. I got picked up as an actor. I still work as an actor today, and writing, as you can see. And I've had a really fascinating working life. I've worked in hospitality for years. I've worked in Michelin star restaurants. It's never held me back. And funnily enough, in lockdown then, I did the Trinity Access program for people who did drop out of school and stuff like that. And I got offered a place in philosophy and English literature in Trinity. So, I mean, my personal message, and to my own daughter as well, who's going through the education system now, I mean, she's only 8, I can see the way she works. And part of the great thing that the Trinity Access program gave me was it helped me to understand my learning style. Mm. So memorizing for exams is not for everybody. And intelligence isn't measured like that either. And I think I've found out through the last few years, and the Trinity Access program gave me huge confidence. It gave me a real sense of like, oh, I am intelligent. It's just very different. And I work very differently.
It's funny, when you have to study for exams, there's a kind of an agenda you have there, and you have to regurgitate stuff. But I remember some scientific concepts that I had come across when I was doing engineering. And then I got a job lecturing in engineering, and it was only when I had to teach it that I really understood some of the stuff.
Right. Yes.
That I thought I knew.
Yes. Yeah.
I didn't really understand until I had to teach it.
Yeah. It's fascinating. And I was telling you there off air that I was talking to Katrina O'Sullivan, Professor Katrina O'Sullivan, yesterday, because she'd read another piece that I had read, and we get on very. She'd be a hero of mine. And there's somebody who.
She wrote the book Poor.
She wrote the book Poor. 18. She was unemployed, pregnant, and really struggling with life. And now she's a professor in Maynooth. And now they're going to put her play on in the Gay Theatre.
Oh, she's an extraordinary character. Yeah. Anyway, how is the dating going?
It's I'm starting back today, Pat. I've been on holidays for the last few weeks, so I've been with my away with my daughter for a few weeks, visiting her family in Portugal. And I take breaks. I had a busy few months. I was moving house, and I had all these crazy different projects on, but now I'm back, and I'm excited to see what's out there.
And you're available.
I'm available, and I'm chill, and I'm just looking to connect with nice people.
And eggs frozen or not, doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
All right, Stephen Mullen, comedian and much else. Stephen, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks so much, Pat.
In studio today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.